people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. I want you to notice that first line. God says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I want to speak to you this morning for the next few minutes. I'm going to kind of give you my heart. I hope you listen to me. I want you to draw a little circle around yourself as if it's just you and me talking for a while. I want to speak to you on this subject. America, who is your God? America, who is your God, Father? This nation needs something. And the hope, I believe, of this nation is right under my voice right now. I pray somehow you'd use me to influence the hearts of these young people to realize the importance of their role as an American. Thank you for this great nation. Now help me, Holy Spirit, as I speak to their ears, may you please speak to their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I love America. I love going to the West, seeing the Pacific Ocean. I grew up the majority of my life out there. I love the Pacific Ocean. I love the Atlantic Ocean. I love the lakes, the rivers, the streams of America. I love our mountains. I love the Tetons of Wyoming. I love the Rockies of Colorado. I love the Smoky Mountains, the Blue Ridge Mountains. I love this great country called America. I love the canyons. I was just out west. I just flew in yesterday from New Mexico and saw the great sunsets of New Mexico. I love the canyons of Arizona. I love the deserts of Southern California. I love this great country called America. I love the forest of the Northeast. I love the red clay of Georgia. I love the South and the colonialism of the South. I love the parks that America has. I love our fireworks that we have on July 4th. One thing I like about July 4th is going out with the family and watching the fireworks. And every time I look at that, I think of our great national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner. I think of our songs. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber ways of grain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plains. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. I love my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. Of thee I sing. I love God, bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God, bless America, my home, sweet home. I love it when our Star-Spangled Banner is played and sung. It's still, every time I hear it, sends cold chills up my back. I don't understand a nation of young people that talk when the national anthem is being played. I don't understand a nation that don't rise in honor of our national anthem. I don't understand a nation that won't put their hand over their heart when the flag is being pledged. I don't understand that. I don't understand why sports stars would allow to even be played that will sit down during our national anthem. If they don't like this country, get out of here and go to some other country. I just love America. I love her flag, the 13 stripes for the 13 original colonies. I love the red that reminds me of the blood of patriots who have given their life for this great nation. And many of them, may I say, some of them, if not many of them, could be burning in hell right now, just so you and I could have the freedom to be in this place right now, to have the freedom to have preaching at any time we want to without somebody censoring our preaching. I think of the blue, of the honor that America has stood for years. I think of the white, for justice, that America in past has stood for, having justice amongst other worlds that dictators run. We believe in something called justice here in America. I love our Bill of Rights, our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution. I love America. For years, I've traveled America. People have asked me, Brother Donnelly, why? Why don't you go pastor? Why don't you ever desire to be a pastor? And truth is, I don't. Why is it that you travel week after week for 14 years? Why is it you travel and preach and give up comforts of home? Why is it that every Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, you'd spend a night away from your family in a motel somewhere? And I got news for the motels. They're worn out a long time ago. Restaurants, all restaurant food seems the same right now. It's not the same. I mean, oh, there is excitement at the beginning, but I got news for you. That excitement of going through airports has long been over. Well, why would I, for 14 years, travel this country? Why would I go north to south, east to west? Why is it, Brother Donnelly, you would go up and down this country and give up time away from your family? What is the reason you would do it? I'll tell you what that reason is. The reason is because I believe that a nation, that America is worth sacrificing for. You see, I just believe that America is the greatest nation of all. You can say I'm proud, but you're exactly right. I am proud to be an American. I thank God every day that I live. When I wake up and I pray, I say, God, thank you so much for letting me born in America. Thank you, God, allowing me to be born. I could have been born in Iraq. I could have been born in Iran. I could have been born in Russia. And I'm not saying those people are sub-people. I'm just simply saying this is the greatest nation of all. And America is still the envy of the world. America, everybody longs to be like America. Europe longs to be like America. All these nations, everybody, why, if they don't long to be like America, why do they come here? Why do people go on rafts and risk their lives and go across 90 miles of water from Cuba to America to come here? I'll tell you exactly why. Because they love America. They want our freedom. They want what we stand for. They want this book right here. They just believe that America is the best nation of all. And I, for one, believe that America is the greatest nation of all. But I wonder what's happened to this country. When I was a boy, ladies and children could walk the streets. And I'm not an old man. But when I was a boy, you didn't have to walk down the street, ladies, wondering if some man's going to rape you. Wondering if someone's gonna, you didn't have to worry about, you didn't have to keep an eye on your kids all the time because of some pervert that may kidnap your child and do some wicked thing with that child and end up killing them. It wasn't that way when I was a boy. When I was a boy, even in the public schools, you stand to that flag. Put your hand over your heart, and every day you give a pledge of allegiance to that flag. And there was no question about that phrase, under God. And God help the Supreme Court if they take that out from our pledge of allegiance. When I was a boy, you didn't have to worry about nudity on TV. When I was a boy, my mom and dad didn't have to worry about people walking around indecent in undergarments on TV, and it was not an accepted lifestyle to walk around nude like we do today, showing off our skin. And by the way, you want to find out how far a nation goes from God, you check how much clothes they keep on, because the further they get from God, the more clothes they take off. Why is it that in Africa, when they walk around and did not have clothing, they get saved? People put the clothes on. Tell you exactly what common sense tells you, to walk around decent, but the further you get from God, the more clothes they come off of the people. When I was a boy, church was still the most important event on Sunday morning. Easter Sunday, there were hardly any stores open on Easter Sunday because we believed church was important. You go this past Easter Sunday, all you have to do is drive down the street. Look at the vendors who are down the street.
Look at the shops that are open. Look at the NASCAR races. 100,000 people at a NASCAR race when 100,000 people should have been at church listening to a man of God preaching that book right there. Look at the stadiums that are filled with people. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is, America used to be a day when on Sunday morning it was time for church. You put your best on. You went to church. Didn't matter what religion it was. America just believed in something called going to church on Sunday morning. Hey, that was America. I remember when I was a boy.
When I was a boy, a man was never criticized for being a man. He was not called a male chauvinist. He was called a man for standing up for being a man.
When he led his wife, he was not subverting her and making her a lesser being. He just believed that men ought to be the head of the home. There was no home improvement with Tim Allen who acted like a dope as a man. I got news for you. When I was a boy, men were men. When I was a boy, you grew up saying, I want to be a fireman or a policeman because we respected authority. And we believe there's something called a president of the United States who didn't use his White House as a whorehouse. Instead, he believed that the White House was something that was sacred. We just believed in manhood in America when I was a boy.
When I was a boy, when a lady was asked, what's your job? She would say, I'm a homemaker, a mother. And that was not second rate. That was first class. It was not second rate when I was a boy for a lady to say, I'm just a mother. I'm just a homemaker. I just take care of my kids. My wife and I recently, about a year ago, were out and someone asked my wife, what do you do for a living? She says, I'm a homemaker. A what? A homemaker. They said, what's that? What a shame that America has gone from a nation where a lady would stay at home and raise her kids and keep the home for while the husband was out working, to where we become a nation where the man stays at home because he's too lazy. The woman's out there working construction sites and working out there in the labor field. Ladies and gentlemen, I simply say, what in the world has happened to America?
Now gangs control our streets. You go to any major city in America, and you have to be careful what neighborhood you walk through with their collar clothes on, because you just may get shot by some coward called a gangster. Judges are fired for having the Ten Commandments in their courthouse, which is the foundation of what our courts are, what our justice system was founded upon. Yet mayors can go ahead and break the law and allow homosexuals to get married and say that that's a normal lifestyle and they're queer. What in the world has happened to a nation where the Ten Commandments is less respected than queers and walk around and flaunt their wicked lifestyle?
Premarital and extramarital sex is accepted as a normal lifestyle now. And I've got news for you. That's not normal. It's anti-God. Did you hear me? I said it's anti-God. I'm talking to some of you students right now under my voice. You try to skirt the rules around here and to want to have your fun. I got news for you. There's nothing normal about that type of lifestyle. When I was a boy, AIDS movement wasn't walking. It wasn't. You didn't have to worry about AIDS. You didn't have to worry about all the sexual diseases because people just believe I'm going to get save myself for one person. Hey, that's what America used to be like. Oh, she wasn't perfect. But she was a whole lot better than she is now. Prayer has been kicked out of our public schools. But Harry Potter and witchcraft is considered required reading in some situations. Well, it's good literature. I got better literature than Harry Potter. How about this book right here? We say, yeah, but you don't understand, this is offensive. Well, it's about time somebody gets offended about their sin. About time America realizes her sins are sending her straight to hell. Hey, what in the world has happened to America?
Pornography, like Victoria's Secret shows, are common on our TV airwaves. People criticize because Howard Stern's kicked off. He's never been allowed on. It's amazing Well, it's just a lingerie show. No, it's a pornographic show. They say, well, but the viewership is high. Of course it's high. Bunch of lustful men sit there and watch some women walk down some strip somewhere like a bunch of whores selling their body. I've got news to you. They never thought about that when I was a boy. If you'd have said a curse word on the TV back when I was a boy, they'd have lost their license. They would have never had a chance to even have a license again. Hey, what's happened to this great nation? Half time at Super Bowls are now nothing more than striptease shows and rock concerts. With people out in the field gyrating their body in sexual motions, trying to promote their type of lifestyle. Hey, what's wrong with that, with America? Jesus has been kicked out of our public schools. But in California, it's required to study the Muslim religion. I got news for California. America wasn't founded on Muslim. America wasn't founded on the Islam religion. America was founded on that book right there and on Jesus Christ. That's why those people came over to this great nation. Those few people that got all that shit, that Mayflower, that come to America, they came because they believed there was a God inside this book that they wanted to serve. His name was Jesus Christ. They didn't want some nation to tell them they couldn't serve Him. Hey, God, the God of America is Jesus Christ. That's who it's supposed to be. Spotted owls and whales are more value than 4,000 babies that are killed every day via an abortion. Go figure. Up in the northwest part of the country, Brother Mingy, you know what I'm talking about. Up in the northwest part of the country, hundreds of loggers lost their job because of a dumb spotted owl. I can take care of that spotted owl. Give me a shotgun, I'll take care of it and put them all back to work. That's not politically correct. I've never worried about being politically correct. I've been worried about this book right here. And when 4,000 babies are killed every day, and a whale is more considered more value than 4,000 babies, hey, something's wrong with this nation. What has happened to this nation that's supposed to be considered a nation under God? You see, America is not a society. America is a people. She is not, America is not just a bunch of people that are united with a common interest. America, you are America. You who sit here right now, you're America. Here's America right here. There's America right there. There's America right there. There's America right there. There's America up there. America is not just some people who say, well, let's just have a common interest. America is a people that was founded on this old-fashioned book called the King James Bible. That means if America's going to be pure, then we have to be pure. If America is going to be honorable, then we must be honorable. If America is going to be honest, then we must be honest. If America is going to be decent, then we must be decent. If America is going to be holy, then we must live holy lives. You listen to me. America is only as pure as the people that live inside of America. That's why we preach purity around here. That's why we say we want a 6-inch rule around here. Why? We want an America that's a pure America. We want an America where young ladies walk down an aisle and young men walk down an aisle virgin and pure and clean and kept themselves for each other. Hey, this nation is only as pure as you are pure. Oh, some of you sit here today, you kind of letting this thing kind of pop over your head, and that's the problem with America. We just kind of nonchalantly let America die and go to hell, go ahead and live our little lifestyle, watching whatever we want to watch, and polluting our minds with pornography, and getting the pornographic magazines and programs, and get on the internet, and search through the sites and see pornographic sites. Hey, if America is going to be pure, it's got to start right here, where we are pure inside this room. We want honesty. Well, it's going to start. It has to start right here. America is not honest unless her people are honest. America won't be an awe, it won't be a nation that tells the truth unless we tell the truth. America won't be decent unless we are decent. That's why it concerns me when I watch our Christian girls who want to get the tightest fitting dress to show her figure off. Track concerns me when girls will get a dress that just barely hits the kneecap. Then when they sit down, it slides above the kneecap to show their legs off. That's why it bothers me. Why? Because America is holy as decent as those who live inside of that nation. So it concerns me when we try to preach holy lives. Why, America's only as holy as we are. Yet I can't get, we can't get some of you. I guarantee half the crowd hasn't read this book yet today. Why, about 75% of you haven't even bent your knee and talked to God today. Oh, we love America. No, you don't. You love yourself. You love what you want all about yourself. I got news to you. America wasn't built on what I get for myself. America was built on somebody saying, hey, let's live for the next generation. Because America's a people, if we're going to save her, then we have to save her people. Listen. The hope of America is not in the strength of our armies. The hope of America is not in the White House and who lives inside the White House. The hope of America is not who controls the House or the Senate. The hope of America is not in the strength of our weapons and bombs. The hope of America is not in a balanced budget. The hope of America is not who sits on the bench, behind a bench at a courthouse. The hope of America, God says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The hope of a nation is if God's people decide to make God their God once again. President Reagan said, while America's military strength is important, let me add here that I've always maintained that the struggle now going on for the world will never be decided by bombs or rockets, by armies or military might. He said the real crisis we face today is a spiritual one. President Ronald Reagan, a man who believed in good defense, a real man who could stay in the White House with integrity and character despite what the liberals want to say about him. He knew the hope of America was in a place called church. He knew the hope of America was in God's people living a spiritual, right life. Hey, that's what our forefathers believed. They believed if America is going to stay strong, then our people have to be strong spiritually. How are we going to save her? God says, first of all, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray. You get that word? Pray. If we're ever going to save this nation, grant some people to pray for this nation. It's a shame here at Hiles Anderson College, a college that's supposed to love America, that on Tuesday mornings at 6 o'clock, am I right? 6:15 in the morning on Tuesday morning, out of a crowd like this, you're going to get 20 out there to pray for America. What a shame. What a shame that half of that crowd are ladies. Hello? Yeah, you're awake out there. We say we love America. When's the last time you was on your face before God and said, oh God, please do something to save my nation? When's the last time you slept and you prayed over and I would say, God, somehow you got to do something to save America? When's the last time you prayed for America? I don't understand it. Some of you who called me preachers, why are you wanting a pastor? What are you going to pastor if America's gone? What pulpit are you going to stand behind if they start licensing you to preach? I've got news for you. We can stand behind pulpits all we want, but unless God's people get on their face before God, we'll never have a revival in this nation. America, every revival in history has always been preceded by prayer. I think of two young men who were in our U.S. Navy. They were so burdened about their shipmates. They had a day off. They went down to the bottom of their ship. They were stationed out, I believe it was in North Carolina, maybe in South Carolina. Went down to the bottom of their ship. They began to pray and say, "Oh God, do something with the men of our ship. Oh God, you got to somehow touch their hearts. Dear God, please, some way, somehow, grab the hearts." And for hours they spent on their face, and above their ship praying, the power of God fell upon those two young men. All of a sudden, without rehearsing it, they both stood up, began to sing the hymns of God. As they were singing down, shipmates heard these two sailors singing down at the bottom of that ship. They would come, they started walking down their stairways to come and laugh at these two young boys, but as they entered into the very room where these two men were, the Holy Spirit's power was upon them so powerfully that as they come inside there, these men would fall on their face and begin to beg and say, "I need to get saved," because the power of God was upon them. What in the world has ever happened that we could get that type of power again upon our young men? What's it going to take to save this nation? Prayer. What's it going to take? Sacrifice. You know what the greatest thing is about his generation? They didn't live for themselves. So you sit up here and you take for granted a man like Dr. Evans, and I can't figure you out. I mean, I cannot figure you out. You ought to be knocking down his secretary's door and say, "Can I get an appointment for counseling to talk to this great man right here? He knows more about, he's more of an American than most of you inside of here right now." His generation believed that if a nation's going to be saved, somebody has to sacrifice. Okay, I asked Brother Vogel, these are his numbers, if these are wrong, take them to him. 406,000 people died in World War II. 55,000 died in Vietnam. 80-something thousand died in World War I. Why? Because they realized there's a cause worth dying for. Recently reading a book on the American Revolution, and George Washington and his men had lost with a ragtag type of army, no uniform, and they were wearing their shoes. Me and them had no shoes. The first battle we won in the American Revolution was a bunch of young men that sacrificed their bodies on a Christmas Eve when the English army was just relaxing. The higher German army was getting drunk. George Washington and his men traveled through frozen ground, through ice and frozen rivers, barefoot. They said you could follow the blood from their feet because they had no shoes. They would go and they traveled all night and won the first battle of the American Revolution. Why? Because they believed in sacrifice. Our former pastor, Brother Hiles, some of you are forgetting about him. You better not forget about him. He sacrificed his life for this nation. I believe with all my heart, the Cold War, yes, President Reagan had a lot to do with it, but I believe if you could somehow, some way, if you could look from heaven and look down, I believe there's one name that allowed America to win the Cold War. It was Dr. Jack Hiles that traveled every Monday and Tuesday up and down a nation trying to save a nation. Hey, thank God he sacrificed for us.
We can't get you to give up your job.
You get a nice job, you'd rather keep that job than go out and do what God's called you to do to help save this nation. You ladies are more worried about a nice house and having nice cars than trying to save a nation that needs to be saved.
What's it going to take? Someone needs to give their life. Give their life. It's about time. Some of you decided America's worth giving your life for. I'm disturbed by the fact we have more men wanting to be an assistant pastor. I'm not against you being an assistant pastor. We have more people wanting to be educators than what we have people wanting to be preachers. That disturbs me. America's not going to be saved by educators. America's not going to be saved by assistant pastors. America is going to be saved by some men that will go out in every nook and cranny of America and start a church and say, I'll influence my little America for Christ. God told you to be an assistant, you be an assistant. But some of you, you're trying to find an easy way out so you don't have to pay the finances down. You're trying to say, well, if I don't have to do my work, let somebody else do it, then I'll go the easy way. America doesn't need people that'll do it the easy way. America needs somebody that'll say, I'll give my life.
I was in the Philippines, going through our World War II cemetery there, looking at the hundreds and hundreds of crosses and rows. As you walk inside that cemetery, your heart begins to sink. And you see how many people gave their life for you to even stand there. I began to walk out, and there was one last sign I saw they had on a wall there. That sign read, let us here highly resolve that the cause for which they died shall live. I come to you today and I say, let's not let the cause for why Brother Howell started Howells Anderson College die. I sat in his office one day, and Brother Howell said to me, he said, Alan, he said, don't you dare forget this. Don't ever forget this, he said. I started Howells Anderson College for one thing, to save America. I'm for reaching the world, but if we lose America, we lose the world. He said, we got a lot of churches. Yeah, no, they're not churches. They're meeting places. Those who go on tour know what I'm talking about. Dr. Callie, you've been on tour for who knows how many years, and sometimes some regions it's even hard to find a decent church to go to. I wish somehow, some way, I could get some of you, I could grab your heart and squeeze it. So that flag right there is worth standing for. Why should this man go fight in Vietnam, avoid bullets, see his own friends die, see their blood shed on foreign soil because of this great nation, and we sit here and never sacrifice? What in the world's wrong with us? Somewhere, somehow, some of you need to decide to become some pastors. Sound not much. God never said He's looking for much. He just says He's looking for somebody. And go out and try to do something for this great land called America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's going to happen. It's going to happen because of this room. Right here, Father. May we never forget
the sacrifice of those before us. I pray today prayer closets would be filled once again. Sacrifice would become the priority in our life, to sacrifice for Thee. Because if we sacrifice for Thee, we're sacrificing for this nation. May many of us just decide to go out and start living up for a cause for this country. In Jesus' name, amen.